Welcome to the Bookcasting Podcast, episode 15. John Janch, the referral engine. Today with Uravea.
That's right.
From the US of A.
Yeah.
Which parts?
We are in the Queens, New York City.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
My name is Tom Erik, and I'm in Norway. And today's book is The Referral Engine by John Janch. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's great. It's a great book. And we are going to talk about why you should read it. And basically, you will come with one thing, and I will come with one thing. And but what we usually do is that we say a little bit about how it starts.
All right, that's true.
I don't remember how it starts.
Well, I will tell you how it starts.
Hey.
It starts chapter one, The Realities of Referral.
Yes.
It's a physiology lesson. It's about the hypothalamus in the brain. I don't remember this story. He basically says that the hypothalamus is registering pleasure when you do something good and when you are recognized for doing something good. And it's kind of wired into our brains to help other people find good products.
Yeah.
So whenever I help you, if you're looking for, let's say, a car, that's just a stupid example, but let's say you're going to buy a car, and I happen to own a Toyota. And I think Toyota is a great car, and I just love their customer service. I say, well, Ura, you're buying a car, you should definitely buy a Toyota. And then you go ahead and buy a Toyota, and then you're really happy with it, and you're really grateful to me because I recommended it to you. Then that makes me feel good because I made you do something. And so we're basically, he says, humans are wired to make referrals.
Yes.
That's how the book starts.
The brain.
People make referrals because they need to.
Yes.
It's a kind of survival thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. From back in the day when we needed to cooperate to survive.
Yeah.
We need to help each other to survive, which we, by the way, still do.
Yeah.
If any of you have forgotten.
For God's sake, don't buy a Hyundai because it's going to kill you.
Yeah. For example, yeah. Yeah, so, and, yeah, very often I need to explain this to my customers, actually, that when somebody introduces your company to another customer, they are not doing it to help you, they're doing it to help the other customer, because they believe that the new customer will get as good treatment as they did, and the new customer will be happy, and then maybe they will actually owe one to the guys who helped them get in touch with you.
Mm.
Yes. And I must admit that a lot of the people I tell that, they don't really believe it. Yeah. Yeah. But I do. So.
He also says it's a form of social currency.
Yes, it is.
So whenever you refer someone to a service, it's like making a deposit into a bank account.
Yes.
Of social goodwill, I guess.
Yes.
Because that's what you said. That's when if I refer you, then you kind of feel obligated to help me when I need something. Right?
Well, what we are going to talk about now, about why you should read this book, both your thing and my thing that we're going to talk about is involving blogs and social media. So I would like to say this. I just posted on the Twitters that we were going live, and then somebody out there retweeted it.
Really?
Yeah, and now, and Mr. Johns also says this, that okay, people do this kind of stuff because it's good for them, you know. So these guys actually just referred us on, and they said to their followers on Twitter, "Hey, check out this, you know." But what you should do, even though they do it because it benefits them, you should also say thanks. So now I'm going to say thanks. Do you hear me typing? It's like a very Facebook.
Who retweeted?
On Mixlr
Oh, that's the software that's broadcasting our show live. That's me tweeting that from inside the app. That's sending our audio out there
They didn't do it on purpose.
in cyberspace. No, it's not Mixlr Live who did that. That's me. Was a good example.
I scratched that last little thing, but you retweeted me.
Yes, I
Unless,
did.
okay, I will thank you too.
Yeah. You're
Oh, I
welcome.
can't. Damn. Okay, anyway, so,
Can't you?
it seems like I can't. I have to go to your thing. Well, anyway, so this is the whole thing. So this maybe is actually a good point, because I think a lot of people, they are getting a little bit confused by this whole thing with the social medias, and that, you know, it's a little bit technical and it's a little scary because it involves a lot of other people, and some of them you don't even know, and you know. So, yeah, I think it's a valid point. I just thought something happened, and then there was something else that happened.
Hello?
Yes.
What happened?
I'm doing something on the internet.
Thought you were a multitasker.
I am. No, I'm not.
Actually, there was an article in the newspaper the other day that says men are actually the good multitaskers, not women. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's true.
Did you read this in the Norwegian newspaper? Vague.
No, Aftenposten actually.
Well,
Well.
oh, yeah. Okay, so let's get to the point here.
Yeah. Please do.
You want to start, maybe?
I want to start.
Yes, good.
There is a quote from I don't know which chapter,
Yes.
but it's on the Audible version. It's in chapter 5.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's about innovation, and the quote is this: "The innovation that matters most is usually a small improvement in an established product or service category executed elegantly,"
Elegantly.
which is so insanely true. I'm going to say it again. The innovation that matters most is usually a small improvement in an established product or service category executed elegantly.
Yes.
And Uday, before we started the show, you said this is just what does
Yes.
did.
Yes.
And who is that?
That's a secret.
Okay.
People have to guess it.
He's sending me a package as we
Yes.
speak.
Yes.
And what I want to say, this is so true. It's much easier to innovate when you do it in small steps, And this is also true if you have a blog. And I'm going to tell you, my blog, my next mission for my blog is to get more people to comment.
Yes.
And I just decided today, so I don't have a clear strategy for how to do it yet. But I am going to sign up for your Markedsföringsdugnad. I'm not sure how to translate that. Marketing.
It's non-translatable.
It's not translatable.
That's why we chose the word.
Marketing something something.
Yes.
So basically, I'm going to try to do some small things. One small thing every week.
Yes.
And then I'm going to see how that thing affects the number of comments on my blog in the next week.
Yes.
So one good reason to make small adjustments is that it's much easier to measure.
Yes.
Measure the effect.
Measure.
It's much easier to measure the effect.
Yes.
Which I think is why it's a very good strategy. Because if you try to do everything at once, you have no idea what the things, which of the things that you did was actually the good stuff.
And which was waste.
Yes, there was a lot of waste. We talked about waste. Did we talk about waste when we talked about Lean Startup?
We should have.
We should have talked about waste.
I don't remember if it did.
And there was a guy on the... I just went to a conference on Agile. Yeah. There was a guy, one of the presenters. He said, well, I don't even know if I should say this, but he said Lean...
You shouldn't, but do it anyway.
He said, I don't understand why Lean has anything to do with software. And I don't understand why waste has anything to do with software. Because Lean comes from car manufacturing. And he said that Lean in car manufacturing is about eliminating wasted time. Meaning, his perception was that, well, if it takes 30 seconds to put a wheel on the car, then we should find a way to reduce that time so it only takes 15 seconds to put the wheel on the car. That's what his perception of what Lean was, is to eliminate time, to reduce time, which is just a complete misunderstanding of the whole concept. Because waste is really about inventory.
Yes.
And Lean is about having a lean inventory. And the only way to get a lean inventory is to work in small batches. Because when you work in small batches, you don't know what inventory you're going to need. And why am I saying this?
Yeah, there is because we... if you
waste!
Yes,
waste.
So, if you innovate too much, you waste.
Yeah.
So, basically, let me sum up what you just said. You are going get more comments on your blog.
Yeah.
That is your measurable progress. Is it not?
Yeah, so so this is my strategy, I'm going to say. The next 4 weeks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make one small improvement.
Yes.
Per week.
Yes.
And then I can measure the impact on the number of comments that I get on my blog the next week.
Yes.
Yeah. So do something small and measurable.
Yes. And then the first little thing that you're actually going to do is join our little network of commenters.
Yep.
Commentors.
Yes.
Yes. And we are going to keep it a little bit secret what that is, but I can assure you all that it is actually just a little change. in an already established category.
Yeah.
Yes. So the only change that it entails is very small.
And that's the morale of the story is whenever you're going to do make a change, make it small.
Yes.
Make it small and incremental instead of big and just once. Just, yes. You know, I'm going to do this, make a whole new blog, and I'm going to spend 6 months making this completely new website, and then I'm going to just put it out there and have no idea what I did that was good, basically. And I also have one other thing that I want to say.
Can you wait?
Yes, I can.
Yes, because I want to say something about this whole... So, what you... So, the company or person that you were talking about very early who does this, so makes a little change in a very elegant way in an already established... category, yeah. So I'm not going to say their name, but I met some guys who are working, who are actually helping companies do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, it's a partnership with a few employees, and one partner, he works as a professor at the Harvard School of Design, which is one of the most prestigious design schools here in these United States of America. And the other guy, he's a technologist, and he was one of the things he's done is help make the Lotus 123, which is now Excel. So it's, you know, he's the technologist, and
what?
The other
really?
Dude is, yeah, the other dude is the designer. So what they do is work in the space where in the intersection between design and technology. Which is what this company that we're not going to say the name of did their magic. And they, so what they say is that they've been doing this for many, many years. And what he just told me yesterday was that it used to be so hard to get people to understand the whole concept of this. So that this is the technology dude talking. So hard to get people to understand the concept of design and why it's important. Because people used to look at design as flowers. You buy flowers, put them in the vase, and they look nice. That's it. Mm-hmm. But they're totally useless. And he was a little embarrassed to say that that's the way he viewed flowers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now people understand that some companies, and especially this one company that we're not going to mention, that you know who, as we can call them, they do it so well. And that is the main driver for people actually buying the products. Because it's not only about how they look, but it's you pick up the product, you start using it, and it's real easy. So I've seen actual two-year-olds just pick up the product without reading the manual or being told anything, and they just start using it and enjoying the experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's good design. Yeah. So that's what he said, and he said that it's easier now because of this little company. It's easier to make their customers understand how important it is because these other guys have basically blazed the trail. But what I've been doing is just minor changes and simplifying things, basically. But to make that possible, you need a very complex understanding. And that's our problem here because the whole thing with blogging and everything is very complex to people. They don't really feel safe about it.
Mm.
And we have a lot of people that we know that don't really, that really feel challenged by this whole thing. Yeah. 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 And then you have one more thing that you wanted to pick out as a reason for reading this book.
Well, there's one thing that I found interesting and somebody, I can't remember the context.
Yes.
Where he said it, but. He said that leadership is about telling stories.
Yes.
And getting the referral engine to work, you have to be able to tell a story about what you do.
Yes.
And you have to, if you're a big company, you have to educate your staff in telling that story to your customers in a way that makes it easy for your customers to tell the same story, which I thought was a very interesting point about storytelling, because I think there's not so much focus on storytelling as a skill anymore. But I think the sales trade and definitely within marketing, but also in other professions, I think we could benefit from being better storytellers. And I think I know for a fact that you agree.
Yes.
With this.
I do.
And I have to say you're very good at telling stories. I wish I was much better at telling stories, but.
But well, not everybody would agree with you there that I was good at telling stories.
Well, you have your style.
But I certainly enjoy it.
You have your style.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you live your story.
Yes.
And I think everybody who knows you is able to kind of, you know, they know your signature, right?
Yeah.
That's the important thing. And that's for the referral engine, your customers need to know what is your signature.
Yes.
So that was my point. And I also had another point, which is that what the fuck? What's going on? Why all these books about getting people to understand that you have to do something with social media?
Yes.
I'm wondering, what is it that isn't getting through? How are all these books failing in, you know, making people comfortable with the concept? I think that's something we have to think about. I'm not saying this because I think everybody's stupid who isn't kind of doing this. I'm wondering, why aren't any of these books more successful in getting people on board? Well, that was an open-ended question.
We will get back to it.
We will write the book.
We will get back to that. Maybe we'll write the book. We'll get back to it. Yeah.
We will write the book that will change the world.
Yeah. I also have a reason, but I can try to make the reason why you should read the book relevant to the question you just asked.
Yes.
But I won't do that right away. I'll explain what it is first.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So the thing I like the best about The Referral Engine by John is that he says that you need to decide in advance who your best customers are. You can look at your existing customers and choose from them, but you need to decide. And you also need to decide who are not your best customers. They can still be your customers. You don't have to, you know, fire them, as they would say over here. But you need to decide that these guys are the best customers and these guys are not.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to put up some criteria. And I think maybe deciding who are not your best customers is easier. He has a very easy question. So who are not able to fully enjoy the best experience of what you have to offer? So you should ask that, and you can look at your customers, because some companies, or let's say some blogs, they spend a lot of time interacting with the people that don't really enjoy the experience they get. And you can tell because of the way they complain. It's not the fact that they do complain, but the way that they complain. They complain and they write crap, you know, in their comments. And I must say that, you know, that has happened to me only once, actually, that people have written garbage in my comment field. I get some spam.
Was that the Screw Work Let's Play guy?
Yeah, there is a guy who doesn't like John Williams, who made Screw Work Let's Play. And he comes up with a lot of arguments.
Yeah.
They're all shit. His argumentation is
But he doesn't really engage, does he? He just you know, goes in there and just leaves a comment and then...
Yes, he answered.
He answered your reply?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, but his argumentation is real faulty and weak, but angry and emotional. Yeah. So, you know, you can recognize those kind of people in other arenas. But it's not so, it's not the...
The drunk guy at the bar.
Yeah. So, but the point, he's not fully able to enjoy the experience that I basically try to give him with my blog. It's very, this is the point. It's not, you don't have to understand why he can't do it. That's not the important part. The important part is to understand the people that can enjoy it. Why are they able to do it? And it's actually, but it's easy to see, it's easy if you pick out some names, basically, and write them down on paper. So these guys here, they cannot enjoy it. And then you can compare to them and you can say, oh, this guy is different, but he still does not, he's not able to enjoy it in the best possible way. And you should do the same with the best customers. You should write down some names. That's what I've done. I've written down some names of the people. I'm not going to publish that here, but I've written down some names of the people that I want to have as my best customers on my blog. So I want them to comment on my blog, and I think about them when I write every blog post, and when I meet somebody, basically, literally in the real world, I compare them to them. And when I get some other comments, I compare them to them, and I think, oh yeah, this young lady here might be the best customer. Yeah. So that's my advice to you listeners out there. Write down three names of the people you think are your best customers, and two names of those that are not. Yeah. And compare.
Do it right now.
Right now. Yeah. And then that's the same as Jansk says, basically.
Jansk.
You know, you got to decide who your best customers are.
Yeah.
Should write down why you think they are. And he has a lot of great questions you should ask yourself about these customers to try to understand them better. But you also have to decide who are not your best customers. Yeah. Yeah, because...
And why?
Don't look too much into why, because you might have 10 different customers who are not your best customers, and they might all have different reasons.
Mm.
Can't fully enjoy your Tolstoy has a quote. I think it's from Anna Karenina or War and Peace. I don't remember. I messed those two books up. But he says that every happy family have something in common, but all unhappy families are unhappy in their own way.
Mm.
So they all have their reasons, and but the reason why you should do this is that, so let's say you have a really happy customer, the best customer. Why is he best? Because he will talk to somebody who is like him and say, check out this blog, you know, it's great. And if you cannot be able to give that person the best possible experience without deciding to do that for that exact person, if you try to please everybody, especially those that cannot be your best customer, you will not give anybody the best experience.
Mm.
You do it because you want referrals. You want to make your blog into a referral engine. Yeah.
Are you in Harlem?
No.
Hmm.
It's snowing now. It looks like Christmas outside.
It looks like Christmas in New York.
Is that romantic? I don't know. I'll take it. Maybe I should feel...
Well, there was supposed to be a storm tonight?
Yes, it's coming.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Looks like it's going to come.
Is the subway back up?
I think so.
Really?
Not everybody. Not all the subways are up.
Okay.
Snow. Huh. Right now, as we speak, it's snowing. No, the subways are not all up because some of them are filled with water. They haven't had water in them since they were made. And they're so long that it's like a minor river.
So I do want to say, that I got the referral engine from audible.com.
Yes. Oh.
And I think you should do too. The listener. I mean, now talking to the listener. You can get it for free.
All right.
There's audible.com. If you don't know what it is, it's what is it? Summarized in 5 words.
Lots of audiobooks.
Yes. Good. Very good. And it's actually an Amazon company, and they've existed for many years, but I didn't know about them until last year. And basically, you subscribe, you get one book per month, or if you could do as Ura has the platinum account, he gets two books per month.
But you have to choose them yourself.
You have to choose the books, yeah. Choose the books, and you don't have to choose right away. You could pile up your credits and decide later. You don't have to choose right away. So sometimes I just wait, and just, you know, the other day I bought 3 books for my credits that I had saved up. Anyway, you could try this for free on audibletrial.com/bookcasting. audibletrial.com/bookcasting. Get one book for free. You could get the referral engine or any other book that you want. There's actually, you could get Duct Tape Marketing by the same author, John Jansch. If you sign up for the platinum trial, you actually get 2 free books. Why do you like Audible, Ura?
Well, I must admit that most of the books I read, they are audiobooks. So, for example, today I went out jogging in the rain in New York. It was 1 Celsius degree over minus, so it was +1. It was cold as hell, but I still listened to the referral engine, even though I was in pain. Could I have read the book at the same time? You know, I don't think so.
While running in New York at +1? No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I would like to see a jogger read a paper book. I'd like to see that. Actually, this morning I saw this woman walking her dog, reading an actual physical book. I thought that was kind of crazy. I actually considered stopping, you know, telling her about Audible, but I decided not to. Her dog was big.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
If you have a big dog.
And now, actually, there's this new feature that if you have both the Kindle book and the Audible book, they will automatically sync.
Yes.
So that it remembers if you pause the audiobook, when you open the Kindle, it will kind of open up where you stopped listening, and the other way around too. So when you put away the Kindle and start the Audible, it will start where you stopped in the Kindle, which is amazing.
Yes, I know that I am now moving into thin ice, because this is what I'm going to say now is not really related that much to books, but all you people out there in retail, actual selling actual stuff, you should watch out, because Amazon is
they got their
eyes on certain of your body parts. They're going to make use of them.
I think a lot of people are going to buy Christmas presents on Amazon this year. They probably did last year, but even more this year, because now they have watches. This is not an Amazon plug, by the way. This is not an advertisement, but Amazon has toys, groceries, they have garden tools.
They have this one guy in Britain, he ordered something, I don't remember what, and he got an assault rifle because something was wrong.
And you could get your tires, new tires for your car. I don't know if they ship to Norway, but you can actually get new tires for your car on Amazon. That's crazy.
Yes.
Watch out, people.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So today we have been talking about the Referral Engine, a great book by John Jarosz, who is specializing his consulting business in helping small companies do referral marketing, which means your customers and other companies a little bit like you will help you get new customers. We have we are talking about how it started, which basically is your brain is wired to give referrals, and that means it's unhealthy for you not to give referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to your doctor. And we have three reasons why you should read a book, which is basically a point about innovation, how you should do very, very small steps if you want to measure your progress. And you should be a storyteller if you're a leader. And you should pick out who your best customers are and who your best customers who are not your best customers. Write down their names and be very conscious about what you do on your blog with all these 3 points. Because you want people to enjoy the best experience of your blog as they can, and then you need to aim it at the people who are able to, because a lot of people are not able to enjoy your blog the way they should. Ooh.
Well, I think that was the best 60-second summary.
Thank you.
That was great.
That was great.
What do we have for next week? We don't really know, do we?
It's Obama.
Actually, if you're listening live, stay tuned.
Yes.
We're going to do the election special edition.
We have a special guest. His name is Bronco Obama. It's Barack Obama's not so famous brother.
That's insane. I didn't even know that.
No. Oh,
is it actually a dog named Harry?
Yeah, he can't talk.
Oh. All right. If you're listening to this audio as a podcast, we'll see you next week. And you can find us on bookcastingpodcast.com, facebook.com/bookcastingpodcast, and on Twitter at bookcasting.
Yes.
Anywhere else we need to mention? Oh, also now on Google Plus. I have no idea where, but we're there.
Yep.
Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already doing that. In iTunes or anywhere else. See you later.
See you later.